Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on a Saturday morning. Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Glad you're with me here. 93.3 FM, Freedom 93 in Tallahassee. And we've got a great show lined up for you this morning. TJ Amato will be our guest, a filmmaker. He'll be in studio talking about their first major film, Brother's Keeper, which is going to be showing up here November 1st. We've got another edition of Women to Watch with Heather Thomas, and she's got her guest. And, of course, we have the lovely, as ever, Dina Mims with Dina Talks Tally. We'll find out what's going on around town. And Emily Brown is standing by with the IMAX UMAX report, so stay with us.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive for accessories, detailing, and window tinting for your car or truck.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out and truck.
Folks, the backup camera system has become a standard in most of the new vehicles, and you don't have to buy a new vehicle in order to have the safety and protection of the standard. Come in to Truck and Car Concepts. We can install a backup camera system that's going to give you the safety and protection for $399 and up.
Everything is here from A to Z.
So, what are you going to do?
I don't know. My insurance company is telling me to take it to this one shop, but...
It's your choice. It's not up to them. Have you told Jerry?
No, he loves that car. I wanted to take it to someone who would make it perfect.
Well, you know Dan Hendrickson, right?
Dan Hendrickson.
He owns Capital City Collision Center, down there by the stadium on Lake Bradford Road. Bobby's Jeep got rear-ended coming home from school.
Oh, that's right.
We had Dan fix it. It was great, and they're great to work with.
Okay, Capital City Collision Center.
Online at CapitalCityCollisionInc.com or call 575-9202. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning again, folks. It's a pleasure to be a part of your week here at the end of the week on a Saturday morning. What a weekend, too. We've got great weather in store throughout the day, and another football game later today with Florida State University playing, and lots of news this week, of course, things that continue to sort of bewilder us with how in the world we control for the kind of violence that we see going on, and certainly I'd appreciate your feedback on it. A great way to share your opinion, by the way, is to post it our Facebook page if you've not done so. Always open to hearing your comments or emails. If you'd like, you can email us you send it to info@TallahasseeTalks.com. We are, of course, focused upon the disaster that was the shooting at the Washington Naval Yard. It has dominated our attention in the news this week, and the aftermath will continue, no doubt, for months to come. But at the same time, we're beset with some of those same concerns regarding violence and the use of force in our own community. And this, for me, when I look at a gunman who is given the ability to enter a Navy Yard there in D.C. with fake ID, how did he get the weapon in there? And how many times did this guy reach out for help? We decry the fact that law enforcement was not engaged in that. A lot of people have said, well, because they weren't given access to this guy. So we've got to figure out, it seems to me, when it is appropriate for law enforcement to step in, take charge, be involved, and when it is not. And, as we look at these situations, they may be unrelated in many ways, but there seems to be a common theme here. Who has the authority? How is that authority being used? And is it being used in a manner that is in the best interest of not only the safety of all of us, but as well the particular individual or individuals involved in that act? Story that emerged here a couple of weeks ago in regard to Christina West and her arrest for a DUI that ended up badly. So there are people all over the country, all over the world that have chimed in on this particular topic. And so some people that I've talked to have looked at that video and say, you know what? She was so drunk. She crashed her car into somebody's house. She was resisting arrest. It may not have been dramatic or violent resisting, but it was resisting arrest. And others looked at that and said, no, it's excessive. And in the wake of that, the police chief resigned, or is effective as of October 5th, Chief Dennis Jones announcing his early retirement. Folks, that's been on my mind this week. And if you've got ideas you'd like to share with us, you can always email your interest to us. Topics@TallahasseeTalks.com is a good way to do that. So we are here on a beautiful Saturday in Tallahassee, and the lovely Maven, the social Maven of Tallahassee. That's my title for you. But anyway, we're here to talk Tally. And so Dina talks Tally here at Tallahassee Talks. How are you?
Brian, you always make me laugh. It is a good morning. It's going to be a good weekend, and I'm starting to get maybe some hope that we're going to cool off here. So
hoping
it's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah, yeah. So what you got for us? I know there's a whole bunch going down.
Okay, when we're talking Dina Talks Tallahassee, the things that struck my fancy are starting tomorrow, actually. Have you guys been hearing about the All Saints Cinema Tallahassee Film Society showing of Blackfish?
I have.
So, I don't know about what are your impressions of Blackfish?
I don't do impressions, but continue.
Boy, that leads to a whole line of jokes, because Blackfish is a story, again, shown at All Saints Cinema tomorrow at 2:30, unraveling the complexity of a dichotomy, the performing whale Tilikum, who, like, unlike any orca in the world, has taken the lives of several people while in captivity. So at first you think, okay, that's a bummer. But what's interesting to me is we have this orca, we have him in captivity, he's had people that he loved that took care of him, and under duress, he endangered employees there and actually killed some folks. So he's been in captivity over 4 decades, and I think it's a really interesting story to look at how you consider your relationship to nature and how humans have learned from these highly intelligent animals and what it does to them to keep them in captivity so we can see them.
I can identify with that whale.
It's like I said, there's like a whole line of, you know, your impression of Blackfish. You're really not black today.
Yeah. Tilikum, huh?
Tilikum. It's $8 general admission, $5 for students. Go tomorrow at 2:30. The John G. Riley Center and Museum Visitor Center Grand Opening Celebration. They've been working hard on this. I think it's worth a mention. The festivities start at 9 a.m., an exhibit of highwaymen, Florida highwaymen paintings. If you've never glommed onto that, on Tuesday, it's your chance to go to the grand opening, see some highwaymen paintings, attend the ribbon cutting ceremony, and look at what the new center's doing. They've really built that into something very significant by the Smoky Hollow community. So that's from 9 to 10:30, and that's on Tuesday.
Sounds good.
Okay, we're moving into the week, and I'm doing some business-oriented things that I think really stand out. On Thursday, September 26th, and isn't this of interest to everyone, Social Media Basics. It's being put on by the SBDC, again, Thursday the 26th from 3 to 5 p.m. out at Innovation Park, their offices, and it's increasing your small business's visibility online. So it's going to be very cool that they're going to introduce you to the basics, the whys, the hows, what not to get caught up in, and things that you need to consider for every small business owner, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest. Which one is for you, or which several are for you? Karen Emanuelson is running this program, and it's free, you guys, to come and learn how to make a bigger impact with your business on social media.
I love Karen. She's great.
Karen's great. Mm. Then we jump to the same day. There is a Scrabble for Literacy Challenge. That's also on Thursday the 26th. And the Literacy Volunteers of Leon County, a great organization keeping adults in the loop of new ways to learn to read if
right.
you've gone your adult life without being a strong reader, they're going to do a Scrabble fundraiser. And it puts 4 teams against each other in several rounds of Scrabble and word games. At the end of the evening, of course, the team with the highest score wins. Plenty of food and drinks to keep the mind fresh during the evening. We want you to be a Scrabble superstar.
I like that.
It's $25 a person, or $100 for teams of 4. It supports adult literacy, and you're bound to have a really good time, especially if you're a Scrabble fan. Student tickets are just $10. It's going to be held at the St. Stephen Lutheran Church on North Meridian, and you can look at literacyvolunteersleon.org to check out more details. I think that's worth going to, and it would be a lot of fun for your kids.
That's cool.
Friday, September 27th, that next night, it's the fourth annual Celebration of Women and Girls by Pace Center for Girls and the Oasis Center for Women and Girls. It's showcasing performances by local females. You'll mingle at the reception. I go every year. I really want to support this cause. Enjoy delicious food and beverages, and they have a silent auction, and their silent auction stuff is always great. But more importantly, you're advancing the cause of women and girls and getting
awesome
programs that benefit them.
Yes.
The admission fee is $35 up to $200, but the $35 is where I'm going to be out. And again, that's September 27th from 6:30 to 9. It's going to be at the TCC Turner Auditorium.
Ah.
And that wraps up what we've got going during the week and this weekend and next week. And Brian, I hope to see you out at some things.
That sounds like a great idea. Dina Talks Tally here at TallahasseeTalks.com is available to you. Dina Talks Tally, brought to you by Witten Glass. Thanks, Dina.
Thank you, Brian. See you later.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. What's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray elimination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. Like I said, it comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tint it. Truck and Car Concepts. 656-8800. Give us a call.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, everybody. Talking with a young man who has graciously agreed to be a part of our show today, TJ Amato, who is a filmmaker, a director. Let me read this to you. Identical twins Andy and Pete Goodwin have been side by side since the womb, but that's about to change. As their high school graduation nears, Pete plans to marry Maggie, the love of his life, and he's going to head off to school to become a preacher. Meanwhile, his brother Andy wants nothing to do with God, has no plans, no direction, and seemingly no future. Boy, can I identify with that. But in a cruel twist of fate, orchestrated by a rival for Maggie's heart, there's always a woman involved somewhere, Pete finds himself locked away in prison on trumped-up charges. Now, will Andy be able to help Pete gain his rightful freedom? Should have organ music playing in the background. Will the brothers seek vengeance on those whose corruption and deceit have taken that freedom away? While revenge may seem sweet, Brother's Keeper, and that's the title of the film, is a powerful reminder that only forgiveness can truly heal.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am having a great morning. Glad you have made it your business to be a part of the show. I know you're on a whirlwind tour.
Yeah,
of all places in Tallahassee. They're just spirited.
Yeah, they got me going like crazy. We've been going around. I mean,
are people like hoarding, grabbing you for autographs and interviews?
No, I'm not that guy.
Okay. But you are a filmmaker and you've been at this for some time. Tell us a little bit about the company.
Yes, sir. My company is...
You don't have to call me sir, but I like that. Thank you. Go ahead.
I'm respectful. That's how my mom is.
Yeah, well, I don't deserve it, but thanks. I appreciate it.
No worries. my company is Desert Wind Films, and we've been around since about 2008. And myself, Josh Mills, the co-director of this film, and Stephen Camp, the executive producer, we founded this company based on the principles of we didn't want to make your typical Hollywood movies, your horror films where, you know, the girl's running down the beach naked, whatever. Which, I mean, it sells, but that's not who we are. We wanted something that is always tied to a socially relevant cause, something that educates, entertains, and enlightens. So that's kind of our core principles of who we are at the at
so
the
you're harvest. Delivering a message that has to do with some relationship to the social climate we live in. Is that,
absolutely.
Is that a fair?
Absolutely.
Okay. And in this case, Brother's Keeper is how is that tied?
Yeah, Brother's Keeper, well, it's a faith-based film, and myself and Josh, you know, we're all Christians at heart. We're Josh and I are Catholic. Huh. Stephen's Christian, so don't hold the Catholic against me.
I promise not to. Especially but, since my wife was reared Catholic, and most of her family are still Catholic.
All right, well,
and
then we're Italian. A good company then.
Yeah, and they're connected. So I mean,
I'm Italian too.
They're listening right now, so I can't say anything that might
cause problems later. Spark anything.
Absolutely, I want to be alive tomorrow. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
So, so a Christian company, you'd say, or Christian filmmakers
working
within an environment that is designed you've created for yourselves. Mm-hmm. How did you come across this particular story?
We were sitting in the office one night, and normally we don't take unsolicited material.
Hmm. And why is that?
It's usually in the entertainment industry, if somebody just sends you a script and you read it and you make something similar to it, they can sue you, and you can, you know,
there'll
be all kinds of,
for
infringement, and they say you stole their story, even if you didn't.
Even read the material. You don't even want to. Sent you a manuscript or
we'd have to send it right back.
Really?
But we know you now, so you could send it.
But now, wait a minute. If I had a connection to you, otherwise, maybe somebody inside your firm, and you know me as a writer, does that change? Does that help you?
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. Okay.
You want to know who you're dealing with.
Yeah,
basically.
We want to know who we're dealing with. I mean, if we don't know the person, we don't know their character and what their motive is, basically.
Okay, so this film, Brother's Keeper. My understanding was based on a short story?
Yes, sir. Based on a short story, we originally called it Fishers of Men. And one night we're sitting in the office, and Josh picks up the phone, and a man starts to pitch a short story to him, and he's kind of thrown back. He's like,
again, unsolicited.
Unsolicited, yeah. He's like, okay, tell me about the story. So he starts telling him, and you know, more and more he's listening, and he's starting to get intrigued. And he's like, well, send me the short story. So he sends it over. And immediately, you know, Josh is super excited. He's like, you got to read this. We all read it, and we all got really, really pumped up about it.
It clicked.
And, yeah, it just clicked. Everything just came together.
And how long ago was that?
That was in 2009.
Okay, so 9 to 13, let's see, doing the math.
4 years.
Okay, so that was 4 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
It took about 4 months for the script to be written.
Huh.
It was written by a writer in Hollywood named Brianna Soto, I was friends with her manager, so she had just started coming up, and she had some really, really great stuff that she had written, and we were really excited for her to come on board.
Oh, cool.
And then, you know, Josh did some of the revisions on it, and, you know, what you have today is that product.
There you go. Interesting. I want to get into some of the process. I'm sure a lot of people would like to know how you not only have to have a good story, then beyond that, what goes into the filmmaking process. So you've got the story in hand. What's the next step? Do you begin casting for roles? Do you go out and try to do some kind of site search, or you're trying to figure out where you're going to film this? I mean, how does that all go down?
Yeah. She had, when she wrote the story, she had kind of picked a point on the map, and she had picked Bainbridge, Georgia. And originally, when you start location scouting and seeing where you want to film this movie, we knew it had to be in Georgia because it was written for Georgia, and it was just that, you know, it's that feel. You really can't replicate that unless you're down here in Tallahassee or anywhere around there.
We consider Bainbridge one of our suburbs, by the way, just so you know.
It is close.
Yeah, right.
Know, what,
they won't appreciate me saying that, but I don't care. That's okay.
It's all right.
We love you, Bainbridge. Even though you're not Tallahassee.
Not Tallahassee, but you're Bainbridge.
So you did the filming in Bainbridge, Georgia then, most of it or all of it?
Yes, sir. We did almost all of it in Bainbridge, Cairo, and Colquitt.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, the people around there, when we... I don't want to jump ahead too far, but when
go ahead.
when we were location scouting, We originally went up to Peachtree City.
Yeah.
And they have a studio up there, and you know, we were looking at the back lot, and you know, that's kind of the more traditional way to make a movie is you're on a back lot, and you know, you're on a stage.
Wow, that's pretty cool stuff. Yeah. Folks, I pray that you will stay with us as we continue through this very enjoyable interview. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me. Time now for another edition of IMAX UMAX with Emily Brown.
With your IMAX UMAX update for this week, I'm Emily Brown. We're off to see The Wizard, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. This film is being re-released in IMAX 3D to celebrate the 75th anniversary of its original premiere. The Wizard of Oz 3D will open on September 20th and play for 1 week only at the Challenger Learning Center IMAX Theater. Round up your friends and family for this once-in-a-lifetime showing on the giant screen at the Challenger Center. It will make for a great date night or outing with the family. Advance tickets for The Wizard of Oz 3D are available by phone or in person. You can stop by our box office at 200 South Duval Street or call 850-645-7796 to grab those tickets. You can find Wizard of Oz 3D showtimes and more at ChallengerTLH.com. With IMAX UMAX, I'm Emily Brown.
So, what are you going to do?
I don't know. My insurance company is telling me to take it to this one shop, but I don't know if that's the best thing to do.
It's your choice. It's not up to them. Have you told Jerry?
No, he loves that car. I wanted to take it to someone who would make it perfect, just the way it was, you know?
Yeah, well, you know Dan Hendrickson, right?
Dan Hendrickson.
The guy we met at that chamber thingy we went to, remember? He owns Capital City Collision Center. He was talking about the whole Gain Street thing, because he's down there by the stadium on Lake Bradford Road.
And you think they do good work?
You don't remember? Bobby's Jeep got rear-ended coming home from school.
Oh, that's right.
We had Dan fix it. It was great. And they're great to work with. And the guy in the paint shop is really cute.
Capital City did that.
Yep. I've got this card here somewhere. Here.
Okay. Capital City Collision Center.
Online at CapitalCityCollisionInc.com or call 575-9202. And we're back with TJ Amato here talking about this film coming up in November, Brothers Keeper, being released November 1st in the Tallahassee area and across the country. An interesting story that TJ's been telling us about, and you can go online, I guess, to learn about this. And this is what there's a company called Tsitsi, isn't there? That's somehow involved in all this. Tell us how that works.
Yeah, Tsitsi's it's a brand new idea for independent producers, where you can go online and you can basically set up a page to where you, as the producer, can go out and pre-sell your tickets. Huh. Now this kind of changes everything because
I'll say.
The normal studio route, you go out and you get a studio to pick your film up, and you have your P&A funds, which is your marketing budget, and they go out and they do heavy media. It's you know, just
promotion.
Put it in TV, you know, put it on the TV everywhere, and commercials, everything.
Millions of dollars spent just promoting the film.
Yep, just to try and get you to come in and sit
and
down.
And my understanding
in that seat
too is a lot of filmmakers at that level are looking at Facebook responses before they decide whether they're going to release the film.
Yeah, they have. Social media has a lot to do with.
Did you take advantage of that yourself in trying to get a feel for people's response?
We did a little bit.
Yeah.
Facebook is kind of the staple of how that's done. You know, they want normally for like DVD companies, they all want minimum 15,000 Facebook fans or they have minimums. So, you know, as you're going along, you know, you're like my Facebook, like my Facebook.
Okay.
So, so if you can go to Brothers Keeper on Facebook, there's an actual page for it.
So. Okay, folks. So there's your assignment, Brothers Keeper on Facebook. That's a good thing to do. Desert Wind Films is the name of the company. Now, then Tsitsi is this means of distribution or just the means of selling tickets for the film or both?
Yeah. So what the independent producer does is they go out, you know, and they're kind of their own marketing, right? So we go out and we go to churches or pastors or just anybody basically that'll listen to us. And we talk to them about our movie and we tell them, you know, where it's going to be. And then, you know, they go on Tsetse.com.
I see.
And then they click on our banner, which you'll see the Brothers Keeper poster if you go on there.
Right.
And then just to the right, there's a little drop-down menu.
Okay.
And if you don't see your city in Tsetse, you can create a new city.
Ah.
But here in Tallahassee, it's already created.
I see.
And there's two theaters. There's one at Governor Square, and there's, I believe there's one at AMC 20.
Right, right.
So if you go into there and you click on those, you can pre-buy tickets for November 1st. And what we're doing on November 1st is we're releasing in 25 cities across the country as kind of a limited release.
Very cool.
To build up, you know, your per screen average. And then, which is really important for the first weekend.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the, you know, the
testing ground.
The testing ground of, you know, can we build this out bigger?
Can we do it?
So as long as you have a good per screen average on the first weekend, you can build it out into a bigger release, which that's we plan on doing in March.
That's
so
cool. And at that point, do you continue the same methodology or do you go to a larger company that can help you distribute the film?
No, we would stay with CT.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, then you get a little bit of P&A dollars and you do a little more traditional marketing to get it out there, but you're still keeping that same core
it's
principle.
Interesting how the internet has changed how we do business on so many different levels, whether especially in the entertainment industry, as you might say, huh? Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning, talking with TJ Amato, filmmaker with Desert Wind Films. He and his associates, who have produced yet another film entitled Brother's Keeper. It's coming out November 1st here in the Tallahassee area. Heather Thomas is in the studio with another edition of Women to Watch, brought to you by Tallahassee Women Magazine. She's going to talk with her guest today about Girls on the Run, great organization. The website for those folks, by the way, gotrbigbend.org. Heather?
Hi there. Good morning, and thank you, Brian. I am Heather Thomas, the editor of Tallahassee Woman Magazine, with this week's Women to Watch. And today we are watching Erica McKibben. She is an AmeriCorps program consultant with Volunteer Florida, and she is also the executive director of Girls on the Run of the Big Bend. We have an article in the current issue of Tallahassee Woman Magazine that talks about the Girls on the Run of the Big Bend, and we want to explore a little bit about the program and how it is helping to build community here in Tallahassee.
Great. Thanks, Heather. Well, I think it's really important to be present and engaged. I've been a resident in Tallahassee since 2000. As you mentioned, I work with Volunteer Florida as an AmeriCorps program consultant. I have the pleasure to lead a program called Civic Sense. We are about creating community conversations which focus on why service and giving back to the community is important. We explore shared values and how we can be more creative in meeting those needs of our community. Personally, I show up every day for my family. It's about the importance of tapping into potential of individuals and organizations to transform lives and communities.
And another question that I think is important to address is, why should we build community? Why should we come out of our family boxes and our jobs and actually go forward with working on things that are concerning the community, helping families, helping kids, wherever your passion is? Why should we even be doing that?
Absolutely. So building community is a fabric of who I am. I've been doing it since 1995. I think responsibility, it is our responsibility. I do feel it is important to engage in the civic process, whether it's volunteering, voting, or being a good parent. The network of support is also important, which is about choosing not to isolate yourself and discovering what and who you care about and then supporting those values.
And Erica, I know you care so passionately about Girls on the Run of Big Bend. Why? Can you tell us a little bit about Girls on the Run and why you are so passionate about it?
Absolutely. So we started back in April. We are part of a network of over 2,000 councils. Our mission is to inspire, educate girls 8 to 13 to be joyful, healthy, and confident using a fun, experience-based curriculum which creatively integrates running. You know what? I'm passionate about this because it is a part of who I am, my core value. As a woman and mother of two young girls, I believe that it's critical to build strong girls who believe in themselves, value friendship, and understand the importance of giving back to their community. My experience with Girls on the Run of the Big Bend has really strengthened my bond with my girls. They've been so supportive. This is Girls on the Run Spirit Week, and they both wore pink and green. I love them.
I think it's interesting, too, that a lot of people jump into groups that have already been in existence and all the groundwork has been laid. This is a new program, even though it's got international roots. This isn't an easy thing to build a program from the ground up. So what has that been like?
Well, it takes work. There's definitely been the ups and downs. There's moments of when I think to myself, am I doing the right thing? And moments of feeling alone. But when I have those moments, I lean on our volunteers, our board of directors, and my amazing husband. The beauty of this process is that in the struggle, after you put in the work and worry, if you are on the right path, things do open up.
Girls on the Run is impacting the community. And will impact the community starting, we hope, in the spring of this year. Where do you see Girls on the Run going in the future?
Absolutely. So our program is an after-school program that operates over 12 weeks, and it's run by certified coaches. The girls participate in teams at local schools and community organizations. At the end of those 12 weeks, girls participate in a celebratory 5K. The program is about making strong girls, both in mind and body. Right now, we are focusing on identifying those sites and training and building our coach base.
So what can the community do to help build this program and help support the local girls here in the Big Bend?
Thanks for asking. Well, we have lots of opportunities of how they can engage, whether that's volunteering as a coach or coming out and doing table events about where the program will be offered and how this program can't operate on passion alone, so how they can invest and give donations to support girls through an Adopt a Runner scholarship program or through putting money towards supporting our 5K at the end of their 12 weeks.
Thank you so much, Erica. And if you want to read more about the Girls on the Run program, check out the latest issue of Tallahassee Woman Magazine, the August-September edition, where we feature a tailgate hosted by the Girls on the Run program. And I just really appreciate you coming in here today, Erica, and doing all that you're doing to help the girls in our community be the leaders, the future leaders of our community. So thanks again, and back to you, Brian.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray elimination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. Like I said, it comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tint it. Truck and Car Concepts, 656-8800. Give us a call.
So we're talking with TJ Amato here, a filmmaker that has, for his part, come up through the ranks, we've come to find out, and a graduate of Ohio State, huh? Go Buckeyes.
Yeah. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Desert Wind Films is the name of the company, and they have been about this, Joshua Mills, TJ Amato, and his associates, for the last several years. And their first feature film, Brother's Keeper, is about to be released in the Tallahassee area and across the country in limited release. About 25 markets, you said?
Yeah, 25 theaters.
So with that, what other work have you done? You've been involved in other films prior to this, right?
Yeah, I've I've worked on many other films. They're not my films, but mm-hmm. I've worked on many films, like Brothers with Tobey Maguire and Natalie Portman, and A Perfect Getaway, Felon, 310 to Yuma, things like that.
That's a great film.
Yeah, they're really
Russell Crowe, did you get to hang
no,
with Russell?
No, I didn't. I delivered the last.
You brought
bit
him
of
that coffee.
Movie.
I understand. Apparently, no, Russell's famous for that.
More on the like the studio side, to where you got to put all the paperwork together and send it to
answering
the
phone. Are you?
Yeah, exactly.
When you think about the process that you've gone through in bringing Brother's Keeper forward, is it more or less than what you expected? Has it taken more effort than what you'd planned, or kind of how does it feel now that you're at the point of release?
Yeah, we've definitely had some resistance in the film. Well, originally we had we made the film in Bainbridge, and when we left, we planned to release it in 2012. God had other plans for us, because apparently he felt that it wasn't the right time for it to be released, because we had a lot of different things pulling at us. Hmm. Like one of the original P&A investors that we had lined up had through a series of events and a lot of very, very negative things happened that showed us that we weren't supposed to be there, that that's not who we were supposed to be with. And that happened a few times along the way. So it kind of delayed the process of getting this film out. And
so basically the money you thought you had committed from this particular individual wasn't there for you.
Yeah.
Or did it happen that the money was there, but it just wasn't the right fit?
Yeah, it wasn't the right fit. There's many times throughout this film that we could have taken the easy route and gone out and not done the best thing for our investors and, just looked out for ourselves, but that's not who we are. We want to make sure that, we maximize the return for our investors, while getting this message out there. Right. So, we didn't want it to be something that was a negative thing.
How many people involved in making the film?
Oh, wow. On set, there was probably about 50 people around crew.
All of these
more.
People on your payroll?
Yes, sir.
So how did you do all the casting yourself, or you and your co-director?
We had a few casting directors out of Los Angeles, some friends of ours that are, they're working every day, that's their job,
that's
and their
business.
Profession.
Right.
We were lucky enough to work with friends. So, we had people like Michael Rooker from The Walking Dead in this. He's Merle. He's got the sword on his arm. I don't know if you watch Walking Dead or not.
It's not one of my faves, but yeah, I'm familiar.
We had Ray Weiss, we had W. Earl Brown, and then we had the two twin brothers. They've been working in TV for a while. Daniel Simonis, who was on Wizards of Waverly Place and Disney shows like that.
Yeah,
Mackenzie Mousey, who came off Broadway.
So a recognizable cast. Of players here.
Oh yeah.
Did the film, as it came together, change along the way? Did the storyline change? Were you able to stay consistent with where you wanted to go with it?
The original script, I think they had a dam breaking, and that was kind of the catalyst of everything falling apart for this Boss Hogg character that was in town. But we changed a lot of that around, and I can't give too much away.
Oh, no. But I can. No, I'll tell you the whole story.
He's going to narrate it right now.
But in fact, for those who have only recently joined us in this conversation, we're talking with T.J. Amato. He's a filmmaker with Desert Wind Films, co-director of this film being released November 1st, Brother's Keeper. And it really has to do with these two twin brothers who go kind of separate ways, don't they? One takes this more customary, traditional path. He's in love with Maggie, the love of his life. But he ends up in prison, and his brother, his brother's name is Andy. Andy's sort of the black sheep then. He's kind of the wayward who to try to decide whether he's going to help his brother Pete overcome these trumped up charges, right?
Yep,
is that the story?
Yep.
Okay. And all of this happened in Bainbridge, Georgia, and Colquitt.
Bainbridge, Georgia, yeah. 1957.
How did the city of Bainbridge take to being the set for this film? Were you well received?
They were amazing.
Really?
I mean, the people
cool.
were awesome. I mean, you know, everybody welcomed us with open arms, you know, opened their doors to us.
Very cool.
You know, many of the businesses around the community were very helpful. We used a lot of storefronts.
And yeah.
It was really fun.
Were you familiar with Southern hospitality, let's say, being from Ohio and then transplanted to the left coast, as we say? I mean,
a little
bit.
Did
you spend any time in the South prior to this?
Yeah. I mean, growing up, we would go to Hilton Head and
No, I mean
Total
like
Beach.
The real South. Come on, man. What's the matter with you? Do you see,
no, I know.
Here's the test. Is grits a one or two syllable word?
One.
Uh-huh. See, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Grits.
It's grits. Come on. It's two syllables. You got to know this stuff, man. You better get back to L.A. where you're safe.
I gotta get back there. I'm a Yankee, man. I don't know.
There are going to be some guys in a pickup
I'm showing
truck
my true colors.
Showing up here after this interview. I'm going to take you out and show you how it works.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
And it's about that time of year, too. Cornfields are all played out, and, you know, they just toss
They're
you back
huh?
in there somewhere. They wouldn't see you till probably April next year.
That's not
yeah.
good.
Yeah, not good at all.
I don't know what I'd do till then.
Say nice things about Bainbridge on your way out of town. That's all I can tell you.
I always say nice things about Bainbridge. They're awesome.
Well, you ought to, because apparently these folks were kind enough to take you in and help you along your way.
Absolutely.
Folks, the film, again, for those who have just joined us, Brother's Keeper is the title of the film. And I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit about how we can find out more. I'm sure there's at least a dozen websites that we could refer to.
Oh, yeah.
Give us one. Where
all
do we
right.
go to get the trailer, maybe? Or
you
something?
Can go for the trailer, for all the behind-the-scenes stuff,
yeah.
For clips of the film, and to buy your tickets. It's all in one place.
Oh, nice.
So you can go to www.ctz,
yes.
and that's S-E-A-T-Z-Y. Uh-huh. .com/Brothers Keeper.
Brothers Keeper. Okay, so CTC.com and then Brothers Keeper.
Yes, sir.
Well, folks, this is why we're here. We like to know what's going on around town, and certainly the fact that we have this young filmmaker, T.J. Amato and his company, Desert Wind Films, in their first major release, their first feature yeah. film. This is really cool stuff, and it all happened just outside
locally.
Of Leon County in the
what like you call their suburbs.
The suburbs of Tallahassee. We're glad you were here, and thanks for making it so fun, and you were a good sport.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny every Saturday morning right here at 93.3 FM, Freedom 93, the home of what Tallahassee loves to talk about, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You can go to our website anytime, tallahasseetalks.com. And if you've missed one of our shows, we have them all archived there for you. If you wanted to hear some more of today's broadcast, it'll be there just shortly. If you've got an idea, a topic, or a guest you'd like us to consider, email us topics@tallahasseetalks.com. We'll be here again next Saturday morning looking for you, because we love to know what you're talking about. That's what we're all about. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.